Be opening your Bibles, please, to Psalm 6. Psalm 6. I made a reference to Psalm 6 this morning in the sermon this morning, and I want us to go over it this evening. While you're there at Psalm 6, be looking at it. I'm going to read to you from Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like the chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. I read this psalm first, Psalm 1 first, prior to reading Psalm 6, which I'll do in just a moment, because Psalm 1 provides a foundation for all of the other psalms. So keep that in mind. I'll refer back to it in just a moment. Now, Psalm 6, if you will, follow along in your Bible. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, or discipline me in your wrath. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. No one remembers you when he is dead. Who praises you from the grave? I am worn out from groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. Away from me, all you who do evil, for the Lord has heard my weeping. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and dismayed. They will turn back in sudden disgrace. You notice in the latter part here of this psalm, in verse 9, David says clearly, the Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. That's because of David's relationship with God. What you have in this psalm, in part, is an appeal to God. And you might say the appeal to God is, do not rebuke me in your wrath or anger, or discipline me in your wrath. The call is a call to God for mercy. As you well know, the Psalms provide us with a variety of information touching every aspect of our lives. Every aspect of our lives. The foundation of life with God is presented in Psalm 1, which I read a few moments ago. It's the basis of our relationship with God. Psalm 1 provides us with information for a good, solid relationship with God. And also, it tells us some things about life here. I don't know if you were listening very carefully to Daryl's prayer or not, but he mentioned our relationship with God and living here in his prayer. In Psalm 23, you can see the depth of our relationship with God is found there. Being led by God. Thanksgiving in God's presence is presented in Psalm 100. And again, that's one psalm that Daryl reads on occasion. And some of these psalms we need to hear over and over and over again. And you know full well about Psalm 119. It exalts the very Word of God. It's a very lengthy psalm, You're probably not going to want to sit down and read it all at once and digest all of it, but a little bit at a time, and you'll come to a better understanding of God and His holy word. Even in Psalm 19, it begins by saying that the heavens declare the glory of God. There's a lot in the Psalms. As a matter of fact, I think I'm correct, but I think the Psalms are quoted in the New Testament more than any other single Old Testament book. The Psalms are not just nice little words to read in times of need for comfort and so forth. There's a lot of sound teaching that comes from the Psalms. So keep those things in mind when you're reading through the Psalms, or if you just simply choose to open and read one or two or three of the Psalms, or maybe even to reread your favorite Psalm or Psalms over again. Very, very helpful. When you look at Psalm 6 here, the psalm begins by David saying, "O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath." The psalmist here, David, is not making a bold or brazen approach to God. But I think if you read it and give it some thought, you'll understand that he's making an appeal to God from the heart. There is a great need in his life, so he's making that appeal from the heart. He's making the appeal out of humility and dependence upon God. And you might be thinking about the passage in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, but primarily in verse 16, where the writer there tells us that we can come boldly before the throne of God, or the throne of grace. We can come into his presence, because we have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ, through the cross of Jesus Christ. And we can have that relationship with God, and we can come before God in that fashion. Again, David makes his appeal. "Deal with me kindly. Be kind to me according to your mercy." Stop and think about it. I don't know what your concept of God is. Some people, as you know, have a mistaken idea about God. God's too far away. God won't listen to me. I feel as though I'm not close to God. That's not what's taught here. What's taught here. David is coming before God in a time of great need. And he's coming before God and stating his case to God. "Be merciful to me, O Lord. I am faint." I won't ask you to reveal anything, but think about yourself and think about the times when you go before God. And there may be times when you go before God and you feel faint. There may be times when you simply fall upon your bed and make your appeal to God. I don't know. Maybe there are times when you may even be prostrate on the floor, calling out to your God. "Be merciful to me, O Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are in agony." Now, before you imagine that David's gone off the edge here, think about it. Again, think about the times when you have gone before God in distress and agony. I'm not sure. Some of the experts or scholars have written some things about this. Some that I read indicated that, well, perhaps David was in agony over a particular matter. People assaulted him physically. But it might be that he has been assaulted with words that were unkind. And the business about bones here and the need of healing, You know full well that some of the things that affect our being, our emotion, our mind, some of those things will affect us physically. We become overcome with some particular matter and we don't want to eat. We become physically ill because of that. We're in great distress. We may even begin to ache and hurt because of the distress that we're in. Could be sin on our part. Could be sin on behalf of someone else. I'm just asking you to think about these things. The point of the matter is, David acknowledges full well that this has an effect on all of his being. You may have experienced an aching in your bones because of the things that you're enduring. In verse 3, he says that my soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord, how long? And again, that's another part of our pouring out of our heart to God. Time passes slowly when we're in agony. Time passes slowly when we're in agony. Might be a sleepless night. It could be a long, long day. And whatever it is that we're enduring, I only ask you to think about this. The soul here, in regard to the psalmist, is his very being is at stake. And I've mentioned already that it could be physical, it could be spiritual, it could be a combination of both. And it could be that this is David's way of expressing the distress that he's feeling. Don't try to make this too hard or too difficult. Don't try to make it mysterious or something that's beyond comprehension. And David is saying, how long? I'm sure there have been some times when you've been in distress over a particular matter. And you've talked with God and you've talked with God and said, how long? Lord, I can't endure much more of this. I need some relief. And I need it now. I'm oppressed and I cannot bear up any longer. One thing I will tell you is that if you've never been there, you probably won't understand. But for those of you who have, you know what David is talking about here in the song. Something else that you see in this psalm in about verse 4 is turn. I'm not fully sure why David chose to express it in this fashion. But he says, turn, O Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. Now, one thing I want you to notice here in this particular verse is, while David is calling upon God to turn and to deliver him and to save him, one thing that's outstanding here is the reason why. David is pouring out his heart. He's expressed his need. And you can look at it and say, well, yes, yes, I know, I understand. David has a great need. He has a tremendous need. He's oppressed. He's burdened. It's affecting all of his being, right down to his bones. But the one reason that you see here in verse 4, the reason why David is making this appeal is because of God's unfailing love. He can come before God. He can make that appeal. He can do so in faith. He can do so in confidence because of God's unfailing love. If you want to know something about God, find out what David is talking about. You'll find it expressed differently in some different translations, but here in this one, it's expressed as his unfailing love. Think about it. I read to you this morning from John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know that. What do you know about God's unfailing love? You'll learn that. You'll learn that in the Psalms. You'll learn that in the Old Testament. And you'll learn that in the New Testament too. You'll know it better if you get to know God in the Old Testament. Now, something interesting that's found here in this psalm occurs in verse 5. No one remembers you when he is dead. Who praises you from the grave? I'm not fully sure the meaning behind this, but one thing I know is that David knows what he's talking about. He is making a concerted appeal to God to have healing, to have forgiveness, to have relief from his oppression and distress. And do you know why? Surely you do. So he can praise and glorify God again. So there are two things if you're looking at it in verse 4 and verse 5. And in verse 4, it's God's unfailing love. And in verse 5, it's David's expressed desire to return to strength, to return to health, physical, spiritual, emotional, to return to that so he can again praise God. Accept it for what it is, and don't try to make something out of it that's not there. Returning, in a sense, to the topic of his grief and distress, he says in verse 6 that I am worn out from groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. Some of you may have a translation that indicates a washing or something like that. I'm not exactly sure. But it's a flowing, a constant flowing of tears. And again, those of you who have been in distress, in tremendous distress, and you've continued to cry repeatedly, you reach a point where your tears dry up. And David is indicating here that my tears are not dry. I'm flooding my couch, my bed, with tears. My eyes grow weak with sorrow. They fail because of all my foes. And yes, indeed, when we're pouring out our heart to God and our tears are flowing, our eyes grow weak. And there may be more to it than that, but our eyes do indeed grow weak and tired and weary to the point where we need a cool cloth to provide some comfort. But he says in verse 7 that they fail because of all my foes. So now we're beginning to understand a little bit about what's going on. Someone is causing him trouble. Someone is causing him grief and distress. The tone of the psalm turns a little bit in verses 8, 9, and 10. In verse 8, he says, "Away from me, all you who do evil. For the Lord has heard my weeping." Did you notice that? "Away from me, all you who do evil." How can David say that? He can say that by the unfailing love of God presented in verse 4. That's why he can say that. The unfailing love of God who will provide him with relief. And he says that the Lord has heard his cry, heard his plea, heard his prayer, heard his weeping. Give that some thought. I know verse 9 says, "The Lord has heard my cry for mercy, and the Lord accepts my prayer." He knows that. It has happened. "All my enemies will be ashamed and dismayed. They will turn back in sudden disgrace." David has turned now and he is speaking confidently. He's speaking confidently, not because of himself, but because of God's unfailing love, because of his relationship with God. Give this psalm some thought. Give this psalm some thought. Maybe tomorrow, read it again. You could go home tonight and read it, but maybe tomorrow, read it again and give it a little more thought. And I believe you'll see the marvelous nature of this psalm and the glory that's presented here. And you'll benefit from it again. If you will, let's stand and sing together, please.